Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott. It is Friday morning, June 19th. If I sound different this morning, I'm using a different microphone today. My podcast microphone is actually in my office. I'm recording this from my house. So anyway, don't mind that. It'll be fixed next week. But today we're going to continue with our next part, talking about the Holy Spirit. And today I really want to talk about a really important aspect of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've talked a lot about why cessation theology is wrong. And, I mean, just read your Bible. You know, it's funny. There are accounts of missionaries, like really evangelical, conservative cessation, you know, belief missionaries that would go to these foreign nations, right? And they would bring their Bible. And what would happen is, and there are many stories of this, a missionary would end up leaving for some reason or lose his Bible, and the individual would find it. You know, they would find someone who was able to read it. And there are accounts of, like, these really conservative missionary groups that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. A missionary would go somewhere, leave his Bible, and then come back. They'd come back years later, and they would find all of these groups of individuals. They'd find all of these groups of individuals there that were filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in full manifestations of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, seeing people healed, prophesying. And these people would come in and be like, wait, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. That stuff has passed away. But in reality is, if all you have is the Word of God to read, all right, if all you have is the Word of God, you can never get to that conclusion. And that those stories testify to the reality of that, that they would leave their Bible, and these local people, all they had was the Bible to go on. And so they were just doing what the Bible said they could do and what they should do. So I find that, you know, sometimes our academic minds of Western culture, you know, want to stop us from just following the simplicity of the gospel, right? So, but today, you know, we're not going to talk about cessation, you know, versus, you know, continuation and why the Holy Spirit's still at work today. What we're going to talk about just specifically is the Holy Spirit as a person, right? You know, so often we don't view the Holy Spirit as a person, even though they use, you know, the Bible uses personal pronouns for him, like he and him, right? The reality is the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not some force. Okay, he's not the force off of Star Wars. He is an actual person. Okay, and he is one of the individuals of the Godhead, the Trinity, right? And so, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Even Jesus refers to him as, you know, the Paraclete, right? Which is pretty much the word that can mean comforter, counselor, helper, advocate. There's a whole bunch of words, and we can't really narrow it down to one of those because it wouldn't do justice for the full characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, even Jesus says he's the Spirit of truth. It says when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, right? So he is an individual. And, you know, when I was younger and just starting my walk with the Lord, I had a really hard time viewing that the Holy Spirit was actually a person. You know, I just thought it was, you know, the force, the presence of God. But he is an actual individual person. He is separate but eternally connected to the Father and the Son, right? Okay, I don't want to get into Trinity theology. It's a murky water anyway, because it's hard to, how can we understand an eternal God, right? Anyway, so the Holy Spirit is literally a person, okay? And there are several characteristics about the Holy Spirit that point to his personhood. One being that he is intelligent, right? He's intelligent. You know, we see examples of the Bible, the Holy Spirit being intelligent. You know, when the Holy Spirit said, and, you know, in Acts, the Holy Spirit said, you know, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them, right? So the Holy Spirit speaks. He's intelligent. He speaks. Okay, he continually speaks. Okay, and you know, even in Acts 15:28, Paul says, or the writer of Luke says, you know, it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. In other words, the Holy Spirit's thinking, right? It seems good to the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's not some force. The Holy Spirit has a will. There's a will that the Holy Spirit has. You can see that in the book of Acts too, when Paul and his companions were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, right? That's Acts 16:6, right? And then it even says in Acts 16:7, it says they attempted to go to Bithynia, right? But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, right? And so here we see too, we see the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the Spirit of Jesus, right? So it was the will of the Holy Spirit that stopped them and told them not to do that. It was the will of the Holy Spirit that said, hey, set aside, you know, Paul for this work as well. And so the Holy Spirit has a will, right? And we see that even in Genesis, the Old Testament, we see the will of the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 6:3, the Lord says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Okay? We also see that the Holy Spirit has feelings, right? He has feelings. You know, people, the big argument against like charismatic theology is that those charismatics are just their feelings. They're just led by their feelings. Well, can I tell you something that's a biblical? Having feelings and listening to them is a biblical truth and reality. God has feelings, right? The Holy Spirit has feelings. Now you listen to the Lord over those feelings, but feelings are not evil, right? The Holy Spirit has feelings. Okay, remember it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Okay, you see that in the Old Testament too. In Isaiah 63:10, it says they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Okay? And then in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Holy Spirit has feelings. And then even Paul says that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs, right? Too deep for words. The sighs and groanings. It shows just a really profound depth of the Spirit, the feelings that the Holy Spirit has. Okay, so the Holy Spirit has feelings. Okay, so all of these are just to show you that the Holy Spirit is actually a person. You know, and the Holy Spirit has a relationship with us. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important to pick out that the Holy Spirit will always, always point beyond himself to Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what Jesus says. He will glorify me. Okay, that's what Jesus said in John. The Holy Spirit always points beyond himself to the Father and to the Son. But it's through a close inner relationship with the Holy Spirit that we actually have intimacy and communion with God, right? So, I remember I was in Colombia. I can't remember what year. It's probably 2014 or 13. And, you know, I'd just like been listening to some inner healing, strategies and teachings from, Bethel on this inner healing style called Sozo. And so I grab it and I start listening to it while I'm down in Colombia doing their online class. I say class, it was just a recording of their class. And so I get the revelation through this whole thing that inner healing is really about partnering with the Holy Spirit and letting him guide you into areas of someone's life in order to bring freedom, right? And so I had a roommate that we went to the same church, and he was on the leadership. And I just asked him, I said, hey, can I try out this Sozo thing on you? And he was like, sure. So he lays down on the couch, and I walk him through the Sozo. And I'm telling you, man, 30 minutes later, he's bawling everywhere. You know, the Lord touches him and completely restores an aspect of his relationship with God the Father. And so anyway, so he goes and tells the leadership. And so anyway, the prayer team, the pastor's wife, hears about it and asks me to do a retreat with the intercessors and prayer team and teach on the Sozo stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just learned this stuff like 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But I really felt the Lord saying to do it anyway. And so I did it. And so we're out here in this retreat. And I'm like, you know, look, I'm new to inner healing and deliverance and demons and all this stuff. I know they're real, but it was such a new thing to me. And here I am, you know, I don't know what, 21, I was probably like 23, standing in front of this crowd of intercessors and and prayer team, excuse me, And I am talking about Sozo. And so what happens was I start to show them some tools, right? And so I said, hey, it'd be cool to kind of do like these activities in a group. I'll demonstrate them on everyone. And so I get to this tool in Sozo, which it's called Breaking Down the Wall. And so I just have everybody say, close your eyes right now and just ask the Holy Spirit, is there a wall in my life that's stopping me from really getting to you and living life in the fullness? And so I said, here's what we're going to do. You know, ask the Lord what it is, and we're going to invite Jesus to come and break down that wall, right? And so we're in this room. I don't know. There's probably about 60 people. And we invite Jesus, and people are getting set free. And then, you know, one person in the back just starts screaming, right? Screaming. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, there's blood everywhere. There's darkness. And I'm like, let's take a lunch break. So I'm freaking out, right? I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I opened up the depths of this woman's spirit and soul, and I have no idea what I'm doing, Lord. It's like I'm a surgeon right now. I feel like I'm a spiritual surgeon, and I have not even gone to medical school. And so I bring her in, and it was perfect time because we were hitting lunch break anyway. So I was like, let's break. And I said, we need to talk. So I sat her down in a back room with a translator, the pastor's wife. And I just literally walked her through this process. And I remember I was getting in there, and when I was starting, I asked her, I said, what's going on? She goes, I have so much fear. And I'm telling you, I could feel the fear in the room. It was tangible. So she had this demonic spirit of fear all over her, and it was just tormenting her. And I mean, she could barely breathe. She was hyperventilating. And so I felt the fear, because I started freaking out, saying, oh my God, Lord, I broke this person, I broke this person, I broke this person. And so, in just the most profound just prayer I've ever prayed, I just closed my eyes. I said, Jesus, help me. And I bowed my head for a second. I said, let's pray. And to myself, I said, Jesus, help me. And I remember I had this vision when I close my eyes, and I see myself sitting there with this woman in the same room, and I see the Holy Spirit walk up next to me, right? And I see the Holy Spirit walk up next to me, and I look, and he looks like Jesus, but he's not Jesus, he's the Holy Spirit. And he tells me, he says, Scott, I'm here to help you. We're going to get this woman set free. And it was amazing. Like, when he came in, it was like, you know, when you have a best friend and you just like, you know what it feels like when you look at that person? It's like, this person, it doesn't matter what I would do, they'd never leave me. So what I felt with the Holy Spirit, he comes in, he stands there, and I'm telling you, peace flooded my entire being. And I knew this, I could depend on him, I could trust him. And I realized I had so much untrust towards the Holy Spirit because I didn't really know him. And he starts saying, okay, now I'm going to point to you and show you what we need to do. And so he would go in this woman and reach into her heart, and he would pull something out and show me it. And he'd be like, we need to handle this right here. Right? And so I'd say, okay. And so I'd handle it. And he'd reach back in there and he'd pull something else out and be like, we need to handle this right here. And I'm telling you, it completely changed the way that I see the Holy Spirit. And I left that day. I mean, you know, it was amazing. She got completely set free. I mean, completely set free. She actually wrote me like years later, still thanking me from that that freedom that she got. And she got completely set free. And I left, you know, thankful that she was set free, obviously. But I left with such a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I was just like, there's nothing that he would just abandon me to myself. And he is here. Like, inner healing and ministry is just learning how to partner with him and allowing him to guide us. So that's my story on just the personal nature of the Holy Spirit, because he is a person, and sometimes we don't acknowledge that. But that's all we have for today. I bless you. I encourage you to just grow in your fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. Have conversations with him. Ask him to guide you and help you to come and be your friend, because he truly is. He is your companion, right? And so I bless you guys, and I will speak with you guys next Monday.